Welcome to Right Now Ministries, and this is God's Word, a weekly Bible study podcast with Minister Kane Anthony Settler.
How many of you going to see Jesus one day? How many of you got your house in order?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whichever one it may be for you. Welcome to Right Now Ministries, and this is God's Word, a weekly Bible study podcast. I am your host, Minister Kane Sutliff, and my local church is Faith Harvest Church Ministries in Burlington, North Carolina, Pastors Jerry and Pastor Evelyn Watkins. And I just want to thank everyone for downloading and listening to this Bible study. I know it's been a little while since I put one out, and so I do apologize for that, but we are putting one out today, praise God, and I hope it enriches you. I hope that you're uplifted by it, and I hope that you'll get something out of this word, because I know I certainly have. All right, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we come before you in prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Forgive us of the sins that we've committed against you or anyone else in word, thought, or in deed. Have mercy on us, God. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity to be behind this microphone, for this weekly Bible study podcast, for what you're doing in this ministry, God. Lord, use me for your glory. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus in the heavenlies, and I sever all of your cords right now in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I bind up every evil spirit that is on assignment to this word, and I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, just use me for your glory, Father. And I pray that I will decrease and that you will increase inside of me. And I give you all the honor, glory, praise, and thanks. And in Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got my coffee going. Let me get a little sip. I hope everyone has been doing wonderful. I am, as it today is February the 25th, and I'm just a little bit less than 3 months away from my wedding day, so I am excited. I cannot wait. I'm really looking forward to it. But what we're going to be talking about today is, what has Christ done for you today? Okay, now, and a lot of times when I say in these podcasts, I could teach all day, every day for the whole entire year and still not even scratch the surface. So, I could teach on this subject every day, all day long, and never scratch the surface of what Jesus has done for you, okay, and what he's done for me. But today, I want to look at what Jesus has done for us today. February the 25th, 2013. What has Jesus done for you? And we're going to look at three things. Praise God. We're going to look at the three things that I want to cover today, okay? The first thing I want to cover is, if it seems like I'm rushing through this, I'm not trying to rush through it, but I try to keep these podcasts at 30 minutes or less. I don't really want to go over 30 minutes because I know that our attention spans seems to dwindle off after 30 minutes, but we're going to cover it and praise God. So the first thing we want to look at is what Jesus has done for us today, and he did the same thing yesterday, and if he allows us to live tomorrow, we'll have these same things tomorrow. Praise God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Praise God. So the first thing we want to look at is hope. Jesus has given us hope today. Amen. Let me look at my notes. Hope in the midst of a crisis. Praise God. Turn with me, and I'm rereading now the New Living Translation today. Mark chapter 5. And let me get to it. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 35 and 36. And it reads, while he was still speaking to her, okay, let's back that up. Let's look at let's back it up to 32. He says, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it, who had touched him. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. Okay, now this is the woman who had an issue with the blood. Okay, and she had fought through the crowd to just touch him. Just to touch the hem of his garment, okay? And we pick it up in verse 32, and she says, but he kept on looking around to see, because Jesus knew somebody had touched him, okay? And so he says, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then verse 35 says, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the message, your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just trust me. Now, hope in the midst of a crisis. Now, this man, they had come to him and said, look, don't trouble the rabbi. Don't trouble the teacher. Don't trouble Jesus. Your daughter is already dead. Okay, so he was in the midst of a crisis. I know me personally, I got a daughter. I'm soon going to have a stepdaughter. And I love them both dearly. And if somebody come up to me and said, your daughter is dead, then I'm going to be in the midst of a crisis because, you know, my baby is my little girls have passed away. But what did Jesus say to her? Verse 36, he said, but Jesus ignored their comments and said to the man, don't be afraid, just trust me. So in the midst of a crisis, it's so important that we understand as Christians, as a born-again believer in Christ, don't be afraid. Jesus said, you know, the Word of God says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So he's saying, don't be afraid, just trust me. And that's what he did, amen? Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So in the midst of a crisis, you know, we act like we don't even know what's going on. We act like we anything but the Holy Spirit-filled believers that we should be. Amen? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, let me get to it. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not seen, not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Let me read that again. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. So what is he saying here? He's saying, don't look at what's right in front of you. You know, don't get so caught up in the troubles that's going on in your life right now. He's saying, just meditate on this, that, you know, and just know that, you know, when these troubles are soon going to be over, but the joy that comes after the trouble, the joy that comes, you know, from the trouble, the joy that comes once you're through the storm will last forever. Praise God. So Jesus has given us hope in the midst of a crisis. Jesus has given us hope when there is no hope. Jesus has given us that hope. Amen. So we don't need to be worried about the things that's going on in our lives. I'm not saying don't. Sorry about that. My phone was ringing off the hook. Don't get caught up in it. Amen. You know, the Word of God says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. You know, we're of heavenly, you know, of heaven. We're supposed to be Holy Spirit led in everything that we do. Now, sometimes we don't let the Holy Spirit lead us. Sometimes we choose to go off and do our own thing. Whenever we think that we know more than God, But what I'm saying is, you know, don't, if you're going through something right now, don't disregard it. Don't, you know, don't, how am I supposed to put it? Because we are to cast all our cares upon Jesus and let him handle it. Don't ignore it. You know, because if it's something that you have to physically do, you need to physically do it. But what I'm saying is don't get caught up in it. In other words, if your world's crashing down around you, that doesn't mean you have to crash down around it. You know, also, if certain family members are acting like, you know, a certain way that, you know, like they don't even know God, that doesn't mean you have to join in with them and start acting the same way. No, God has given us that hope in the midst of a crisis that everything is going to be okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how hope helps us to live now. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, how can hope help us to live right now? You know, we can have hope for tomorrow. We can have hope, you know, but how can hope help us to live right now? Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3, starting at the 13th verse, it says, I'm going to read 13 and 14, it says, "No, dear friends, I am still not all I should be." This is Paul writing to the Philippian church. "But I am focusing all of my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven." Okay, so this hope that Christ gives us, this hope that we should cling to, it will help us to live a life right now, because we're not going to be looking at our past. We'll be looking forward to our future. You understand what I'm saying? See, when you start looking back, when you start looking back at the person that you used to be before you knew Christ, you know, we shouldn't do that, because the Word of God says that we've become a new creation. We're no longer that same person that we used to be. I'm no longer the same person that I was before I had an intimate relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so I don't look back at the man that I was and wish, well, you know, I could have more fun if I did this and if I did that. You know, yet the race yesterday was in Daytona. I sure would have, you know, if I was the same man that I used to be, I would have been down there instead of going to church. Amen. But that's not who I am anymore. My joy and my, you know, that I got yesterday from worshiping God and that from fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, they ain't nothing that can compare to that. Amen. So the hope that God gives us, it helps us to live today, because we know that we don't have to be the same person that we used to be. We don't have to go through the same things over and over and over and over again. We're a new creation. We are a new man. We're a new woman. We're a new person in Christ. Amen. So that hope of what God has for us, it should sustain us. It should keep us going. It should get us through today. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Now, and another thing that we have hope in is we have hope in Christ's return. Amen. We can have hope. We have, well, not we can, but we do have hope in Jesus's return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And now they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment." Praise God. As a born-again believer in Christ, we have hope in Christ's return, because we know it's coming. We know that Jesus is coming back for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That just makes me want to shout right there. And so I have hope in that. I have hope knowing that my Savior, my friend, my brother, my all in all, my first love, my true love, he's coming back for me. Amen. Praise one day. One day. So we have hope in Christ's return. So that's, that's just some of the things that Christ has given us today. February the 25th, 2013, concerning hope. Now, I could teach on this all day long as far as hope goes, okay? But I want to move on. But we have hope. Christ has given us hope, y'all. We don't have to be bogged down. We don't have to, we got something to live for. Amen. That hope that Christ, in the midst of a crisis, we know that he's right there with us. And it helps us to live today and not to live in, try to live yesterday. Y'all, you see what I'm saying? Not trying to live in the past. And we have hope that in our Savior's return. Praise God. Now, the next thing we want to look at is joy. 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 Hope and joy go one hand in hand. You can't have joy without some hope, and you can't have hope without joy. Amen? Praise God. So joy, joy, joy. That just sounds good, saying the word joy. I just get excited when I hear that word, because no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I am, seems like this life is trying to put down on me, I got joy. Amen. And we're gonna get into it in just a little bit, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. The 30th Psalm, verse 5 says, well, let's start at verse 4. It says, sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. His anger lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may go on all night long, but joy comes in with the morning. Praise God. That means you can go to bed, cast all your cares on Jesus. Say, Lord, take care of this for me. I am giving it to you. And when you wake up, you can get a good night's sleep all night long. Like everything is just wonderfully, and because everything is going great. And you can wake up in the morning and you ain't got to worry about it. You got some joy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all see how I get excited about this? And so the joy comes in the morning, and it can last all day. And you ain't got to get, I get so, and maybe it's just because that's, the way God, maybe this is just because the way God made me. But when I see Christians, bogged down in life, and always have a woe is me attitude, they don't like to be around me because they can't, because I'm going to tell them, say, look, you bringing that on yourself, because my word, the word that I read, the Bible that I study, the word of God says I don't have to be depressed. The word of God says I don't have to be always downtrodden, always look like, always have a woe is me attitude. I don't have to do any, and if I do have that for a moment, the Holy Spirit will quicken me. He'll quickly let me know, hey, Jesus died for me and that he saved me. And boy, that brings some joy. Woo, joy right there. Okay? I don't have to worry about the things that this life has thrown, come my way. And I've been through some stuff, y'all. I've been through some stuff. And through it all, I always had some joy. I always had hope. I always had joy, because I knew and I know that joy is, it's got to come, because that's what the word of God says. Amen. Amen. It says you can have joy despite suffering. Did you know that? Did you know that you can have some joy despite suffering? We're going to turn back over to Philippians, and this time we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, and let me get to it. If I can set up, I'm going to go through the pages. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, when I was going through the worst time in my life, I say it was the worst, but it was also the best, because it brought me closer to God. It taught me how to completely and totally rely on him. But I was reading Philippians chapter 4 every single night. because I looked at it, and I knew that when Paul wrote this, he wasn't on the beach sipping on some sweet tea. You know, Paul was in prison, y'all, when he wrote this, and everything that he had to go through. You know, it's a wonderful. I love this chapter of this book. Amen. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we're talking about you can have joy despite suffering. Now, Paul has some joy, and he was suffering, y'all. He was suffering for Christ. Amen. And it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. That's important. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And verse 5 says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Amen. That's the hope we were talking about earlier about Christ's return. Okay. So he's saying, you can, no matter what you go through in life, always be joyful. Praise the Lord. Now, how can you be joyful? You know, let's say your husband or your wife, they're having an affair. They're leaving you. How can you be joyful in that? How can you, be joyful in the fact that, you know, if you have a child that's not saved, they're always having to go through stuff. They're always having to, you know, being arrested or getting in trouble at school. How can you have joy in that? You can have joy because the world didn't give it to you. Christ gave it to you. Christ gave you that joy. And because the Word of God says you can have joy. I don't completely understand it. I mean, when I was going through stuff, I was married for 14 years. And I don't think I've ever really said it on these podcasts, but I was married for 14 years. And my ex-wife had an affair, left me for another man. And it was hard. I mean, you know, it was hard. To say the very least, it was hard. I mean, it was the toughest, hardest thing I've ever had to go through. But even through all that, I had joy because I was in God's word. I was meditating on, if I was driving down the road, I was meditating on his word. If I was laid out, just crying in the spirit, I let the Holy Spirit just comfort my heart. And it gave me joy. It gave me joy to read God's word, to study God's word, to sing praises, to worship Christ. No matter where I was, I worship Christ. Amen. That's how you get that joy. You when you're completely obedient to the word of God and you do what he says. Now, he told me to do some things and I did those things. But I had joy in all that. I can't explain it, y'all. I cannot explain it. All I know is, you know, it's true. God's word is true. Everything in the Bible, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand how Jesus got pregnant without being with her, you know, without being with Joseph. I don't understand the Immaculate Conception. I know it happened. I believe it happened. Matter of fact, I know without a shadow of a doubt it happened. That doesn't mean I understand it, but I believe it because the Word of God says it's true. Amen. So we can have joy, unspeakable joy, just joy that you can't explain despite your suffering. Amen. Amen. And, you know, you talk to some, parents who have lost a loved one, who have lost a child, and you know, you can tell when a parent is saved or if they're not saved. You know, a lot of times, simply just the way that they react, and, you know, I've seen some parents, you know, and they say, you know, I thank God for the time that he gave me with their child. Because I know that that child belongs to the Lord, and it was just, you know, he brought her home, or he brought him home. And you can tell that they're suffering, they're going through stuff, they're you know, I can't even imagine it, but they got joy. Amen. So you can have joy. You talk to, you know, I'm part of the Alamance County jail ministry. You know, you go in there and, you know, I'm not all convicts or have been, or not everybody who's in jail should be in jail. Not everybody who's in jail is guilty of the crime that that they're in jail for. And that's suffering. You know, when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're innocent and you're having to serve time in jail for a crime that you didn't commit, that's suffering. But God does that for you know, that He allows that to happen for a reason. Amen. So, but I know it's suffering. But you can still have joy in that. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the last thing we're going to look at is, you know, something that that Jesus has given us today. See, He's given us love. He's given us love. He loves us, and He's given us the love to love others. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves the untouchables. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus loves the untouchable? Now, who's the untouchable? That would be the first question that I have. You know, who's the untouchable? Who, when I say Jesus loves the untouchables, who is the untouchables? Well, I was one. The example that we're going to give, you know, it was a man who had leprosy, but I was an untouchable. Amen? Because I loved the sin. When I was in sin, I loved the sin I was in before I knew Christ. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I mean, I loved, as a young man, before I got married, I loved going out and meeting women. Matter of fact, I played in bands so that I could meet women. Amen? I loved drinking. I loved partying. I loved carrying on. I absolutely loved pulling the fast one over on you. I mean, I'm no longer that man. But I was an untouchable. I was someone that you wouldn't want to be around if you really knew who I was. Okay, now let's read Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12. It says, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he fell to the ground, face down in the dust, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you want to, you can make me well again. And Jesus reached out and touched the man. I want to, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Now, why is this such an important thing? Why is it important, the author points out that, you know, that Jesus reached out and touched the man, you know? Well, because it's important that he healed. Don't get me wrong. But the reason why is, back in those days when you had leprosy, you know, you couldn't just stay inside the city. You had to go outside the city, and there were requirements for you to do once you were healed to be able to come back into the city. You were outside the city. You were not allowed, because if you got leprosy, I mean, you know, apparently it's very contagious. Amen. And the man told him, said, if you want to, you can make me well again. Jesus said, reached out and touched the man and said, I want to, and be healed. And instantly the man was healed. So Jesus loves the untouchables. You know, this man, he didn't have much love from anybody else, I wouldn't think. He had much, I mean, because he was outside the city. It doesn't say how long he had been, had leprosy. Doesn't say how long he'd been outside the city. But I do know that Jesus loves the untouchables. And now, as born-again believers in Christ, that same love that Jesus has for us, He has given us. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go out, and we're supposed to witness and do the gifts of the Spirit to those who are unloved by the world, who are unloved by, you know, when I first came into the ministry, and I knew I was going to be going out and witnessing and stuff like that, I prayed and I told God, I said, Lord, I had a strong desire to go to witness to drug dealers. I had a strong desire to go and witness to, because I can be around, it doesn't, one thing I never really did growing up, I never really did drugs. I mean, I tried once or twice, you know, smoking weed, but I was never addicted to drugs. So I can be around, what I'm saying is it wouldn't be a temptation for me to be around, knowing that I'm talking to a drug dealer, being tempted to buy the drugs. You understand what I'm saying? So, but I still do have the strong desire to witness to drug dealers, to hookers, to pimps, to those who have, to those who people normally wouldn't give the time of day. Okay. And now that wasn't a compassion and love that I had for them before I knew Jesus. That happened after I knew Jesus, and I saw how wretched I was as a man. I saw how dirty I was, how wretched I was. And so, Jesus put that love in me for everybody. Amen. And so, and I'm nobody special. What Jesus has done for me, he'll certainly do for you. But that same love that Jesus has for us as humans, as his creation, he has put that same love into us. Now, whether we want to act out, act on that love, or whether we want to display that love, or whether we want to be hateful and harmful and everything else, that's up to us. But the same love that Jesus has for us, he has given us that love to have for other folks. We have the capacity to have love. We have that capacity in us now to love the untouchables, to love those who society says, has given up on. Amen? Praise God. Now, God's love is bigger than any of our problems. God's love is bigger than any of our problems. Turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. And he says, he created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen. So God's love is bigger than our problems. There is nothing that, the Word of God also says that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. There's no one that can separate, we can't even separate ourselves. Because God, no matter who we are, whether we believe in him or not, God loves us. He loves John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse 17 it says, for God did not, because I don't want to misquote it. It says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Amen. So God loves everyone. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love you more than he loves anybody. God loves all of us, whether you believe in him or not. And I'm talking about the Muslims, the Hare Krishnas, and everybody else. God loves them too. He don't like their sin. And if he doesn't like anybody's sin. Amen. Matter of fact, he despises it. He detests it. But he loves everyone. And so here, that was just some quick things on hope, joy, and love that, that Christ has given us. And I could teach on and on and on all day about this, every day, and never even scratch the surface. But, God did more for you in the moment that you woke up this morning, in the moment that I woke up this morning, than we could ever do for him in a lifetime. And it's just that simple. He has given us life. If you're he's given me life. He's given me the ability to work a job. He's given me the ability to clothe my own, put clothes on and feed my, and cook and clean. And he's given me the functions of my limbs. He's given me more today in the moment that in the moment I woke up than I could ever give back to him. Amen. So I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you get a lot out of it. Test us, you know, go back behind me, you know, look up the scriptures, read them, study them on your own. And just, you know, let the word of God meditate in your spirit. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and close it up. But just remember, God loves you. I love you. Y'all have a blessed day.
The way home.